Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight, Black Voices. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
We have two options here. My vision to invest in schools, or the vision of the status quo, which is to cut.
The latest in the battle over Chicago public schools, Pedro Martinez is here in studio to combat what he calls a false narrative coming from the mayor's office.
Voting is now closed.
Meanwhile, older people are fired up over CPS and ShotSpotter. Heather Sharone joins us live from City Hall to break it down. And local efforts are underway to help residents in Florida as Hurricane Milton is set to make landfall. First off tonight, Chicago Public Schools Chief Pedro Martinez joins us to address what he says is misinformation being shared by the mayor and others. Martinez, who says he's refused a request by Mayor Brandon Johnson to resign, is engaged in an acrimonious battle with the mayor and the Chicago Teachers Union over education funding. The CTU and the mayor want Martinez to take out a short-term, high-interest rate loan to meet pension payments and cover the cost of a new teacher contract currently being negotiated. Martinez has so far said no. And on our program yesterday, Mayor Johnson seemed in no mood to compromise on his vision for high-quality public education.
I am not going to wait and take a passive approach towards transforming our public school system. The cuts have been severe in this district. I'm not going to cut and take away, lay off, fire, privatize so that other people can benefit and the people of the city of Chicago continue to lose. Not under my watch.
And joining us now to share his thoughts is Pedro Martinez, CEO of Chicago Public Schools. Welcome back, Pedro. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Brandis.
So as we just heard from the mayor, he is impatient to start making the changes, doing whatever he feels is necessary to transform CPS schools, especially for its black and brown students, which was part of his explanation for appointing new board members, as he mentioned multiple times, is his authority. Just weeks, though, before the city elects new board members, how do you view this recent move with the entire board, as we know, resigning last week, a new one being appointed within a couple of days?
Well, you know, Brandis, let's start with some context and just things that have happened. First of all, you know, the board that's about to exit, a wonderful board that has really, really worked hard to really work with me on the complexities of CPS. And what did we do together? And by the way, all major things we did them together. So, you know, really analyze and understand what was happening in our district as we looked at different types of schools, magnet. By the way, we didn't always agree. Choice, magnet schools, what the future should be. What we agreed is that we need to make sure we're prioritizing and investing in our neighborhood schools. We passed a budget that for the first time is needs-based instead of being student-based budgeting, which really upholds our schools in the highest poverty areas. We passed a bold strategic plan that, frankly, you know, is going to be a plan that the whole nation will be watching about the way we our vision for education, about making sure that every child has access to quality education. We did this together. Unanimous votes, no dissension. You can go back to the public board meetings and hear their comments. The mayor actually acknowledged that as well. So we have been transforming this district. It takes time. You know, the district didn't get here overnight. I'm starting my fourth year. But today, Brandis, as I sit, our schools have more resources than ever before. We have more teachers in our classrooms. We have smaller class sizes in our highest poverty areas. We're number one in the country in reading recovery for the year 23. 24 that just ended, we're about to report results next week. We built on those gains. And we're also seeing our high schools, you know, performing better than ever. Are we where we need to be, Brandis? Absolutely not. And so and by the way, there's never been misalignment with the mayor or even with our unions about making sure our schools are fully resourced. There's never been misalignment with our board, the mayor, or the unions about investing in our schools and not cutting and really not making significant cuts in our schools.
But of course, there has been misalignment over how you pay for that. And the board that you said that you've achieved all of these accomplishments with, who the mayor has appointed, now that board is gone. He's appointed a new one, and some more are going to get elected in a few weeks. So as long as you are in this position, Pedro, you know, because you said that you declined the mayor's request that you resign to avoid further destabilization, does all of this defeat that effort?
Well, so, Brandon, again, provide more context. Since the mayor came into office, you know, with the former board, we were having conversations about receiving additional TIF funding. This is funding that, of course, is blocked off, that even though taxpayers are paying their taxes every year, it's not, you know, provided to CPS, to the city of Chicago, to our parks. They're controlled by the city, but not for the daily operational purposes. So we, since last year, we were having that conversation as he was incoming, and we were able to figure out at that time the pension payment for non-teachers, which is a state obligation, a legal obligation of the city, but it represents our employees. And so we knew we needed to do that. We had an actual, I had many meetings with him, and then leading into a large meeting on April 30th, earlier this year, with my board president, our full board understanding what we were going to be discussing, with all of my senior team, the mayor, his senior team, and we made a very specific request. We said, we need $462 million in TIF funding because this will allow us to do multiple things. It will allow us to cover our normal base that we get every year. In addition, we were just about to complete a negotiation of our SAU 73 contract. These are our custodians, our security staff. I'm really happy that we negotiated that contract, a lot of equity. And then we said, let's look ahead. We know that the city wants us to make a pension payment for $175 million. Let's also start looking ahead now, because we knew that our teacher's contract was about to expire, and we were going to propose reasonable raises similar to SEIU of 4%. So that brought the total to 462. He committed initially to the first 160, which left the $300 million. At the end of that meeting, what we said is, let's wait to see where the legislature is going to land. The session was just ending in Springfield. Reasonable request, and we were still advocating very hard that we had done it all session for more funding from the state. And so we knew that there was a long shot for us to get more funding than we expected. They came in as we expected, not very much more. Went back to the mayor and his team and said, look, now we know where Springfield's at. We still are seeking more TIF funding. At that point, he said, we need to see that you actually are making cuts in the central office, that you're being efficient, that you don't have monies otherwise. We turned over our entire budget. And again, this is together with my board. We turned over our entire budget. We extended the budget. The budget didn't get approved in June. It got approved in July instead. We were very disappointed, Brandis, that what we got back was, even though they saw we can't make any more cuts, you've made all the cuts you can make, you should really think about, you should really borrow. And we took the position of, okay, maybe they don't understand the history or the risks the CPS has in borrowing, because we went through this path before. Back in the years of 15, 16, and 17, the district took out $2 billion in loans and refinancings. And today, Brandis, in my deficit, I am paying $194 million in interest-only payments towards that debt. It's not even the principal. So we put that in a memo, shared it with the mayor. I even shared with him privately that I really didn't feel he was getting the best counsel. He listened, came back, still insisted on the loan. My board said, we cannot. And let me explain really why we couldn't. We know right now, based on public data, Brandis, TIFs, just at the end of the latest public data, which is the end of 23, we've asked for more current data, we haven't received it. At the end of 23, they had $3 billion, $3 billion with a B, in the bank that has been collected. So in my neighborhood of Pilsen, where taxes have increased twofold, threefold, all those taxes are going to a TIF. They don't go to CPS. In addition, $1.2 billion with a B is collected every single year. And so, and half, 50 cents of those, 50 cents of every dollar would be going to CPS if those TIFs didn't exist. So to ask for $462 million, that, by the way, 175 of that goes right back to the city, because again, it helps their budget, because it's not a legal obligation of the district.
But a 400 plus million dollar.
462 to be exact.
462 to be exact. I'm going to write that down.
And we raised it to 484 recently.
Because that went 484 recently. So, I mean, that's a significant leap from the amount of TIF dollars that you had previously been getting. What do you say to some critics who say, you know what, CPS should be better stewards of its dollar? We should not be, quote unquote, bailing them out with TIF funds. And what if, Springfield, what if no one comes to save CPS, either Springfield or TIF funds?
So let's be really clear about what TIFs are. So I'm a 70s and 80s, I grew up in the 70s and 80s here in Chicago kid all the way. I remember downtown in the 70s and 80s. I remember my own neighbor, the Pilsen, in the 70s and 80s. These TIFs have really helped our city to invest, to revitalize many communities. I know the value of TIFs. But those TIFs have grown so much. Those TIFs were supposed to go back to the taxing bodies. That was CPS. That was the city, the Park District. Imagine what the Park District could have done with all these resources. And so for us, what I would respectfully submit, Randis, is that these funds should have always come back to CPS. But I also know it's much more complex than that, because there's still a lot of development that's happening in our city. And by the way, that helps CPS in the long run. So that's why we said, look, with $3 billion in the bank, with $1.2 billion coming in every year, all with B's, billions, All we're asking for is for $462 million. Now that we've been negotiating further with CTU, we've increased that to $484 million. And so, again, the first 160 was promised, and that we included that in our budget. The $300 million that was left, that's what we asked to borrow, and we said we just cannot. It's not a responsible way, especially when we know these resources exist. And so, again, you know, and the reason we're bringing this out today, Brian, this is because the city council approves their budget around this time of the year. They make the final decision on TIFs. And so we had a hearing scheduled with Alderman Irving and the budget committee last week on Thursday. It got moved to the 22nd. But unfortunately, so we said we can't wait. I've already been talking to alders. I'm already gaining early support because they understand this. But this for us is an important. By the way, this is also part of the disentanglement of the city and the district as we become an independent body.
You mentioned that 22nd hearing regarding the budget. We should also note, I think the Education Committee of the City Council has also called a hearing for next Friday, the 18th. But there is no guarantee, of course, that any board members or potential board members will present themselves at that. This might be something that CTU and you kind of agree on, actually, because today they released a plan calling for the city to, quote, de-TIF the city and use what they say would free up about $1 billion of revenue to fund schools. Here's a bit of what they called for this morning.
The CEO's reported plan to balance the budget through program cuts, layoffs, and furloughs would deeply disrupt schools and harm students and weaken Chicago's communities. Our plan to de-TIF the entire city of Chicago by expiring all TIFs and sweeping fund balances would generate well over $1 billion in surplus immediately, ensuring that our schools are stabilized instead of facing down cuts.
Now, in CTU's statement later today, when they heard about your proposal, they called you a day late and a dollar short because they argued for this morning, but they didn't learn, or they say they did not learn about your proposal until this afternoon. You say that you and the mayor have been having these conversations beginning months ago.
Not only that, Brandis, but let me add this also as context. Even after the April 30th meeting, what we made, it was a presentation, we made the request. When we opened up our budget to the city, they brought in CTU into the table. And so all this context they had. And so, no, we've been actually advocating, myself and the board have been advocating with the past administration, which CTU was as well, with the current administration. And so this is why I wanted to make sure these facts are out there. So really, you know, we do agree that we need to have a long-term solution for TIFs. What is misinformation also is that we were proposing cuts. Brandis, what we were showing the mayor was that the reason we could not put the pension payment in our budget, the reason we could not put early raises for CTU, it would have forced me to cut. And he already had told me that there was no way he could support that. And I agreed with him. He was already upset that we had to displace some teachers and teaching assistants because based on need, they had to switch schools. He didn't even like that. And I said, look, we promised them full employment, every teaching assistant, every teacher, any special ed professional. And it was, again, so they could go to schools where the need was at. And so this has always been a very sensitive topic for the mayor. I fully respect that. I get that. But we have the same vision. We need to fully resource our schools, but we have to have factual conversations about the role of TIFs, continued advocacy with the state, and continued advocacy with the federal government. It is not for one body to fund it. By the way, the other thing I'll mention, Brandis, right now the burden of funding public education in Illinois falls on local taxpayers, 60% of our funding. I am very concerned, by the way, not including the TIFs. So when you factor how much our taxpayers are bearing today, and these TIFs exist, I just think ethically, responsibly, we have to look at TIFs both for these short-term challenges, and we have to have a long-term plan.
What concerns do you have that, you know, this very public dispute is impacting students, parents, families, taxpayers?
So what I can tell you right now, Brandon, is that my principals are worried. I get constant communication from teachers and parents. As much as people think it doesn't matter who the CEO is, it isn't about me, by the way. But it's about my entire team. It is about the values and integrity that we display on a daily basis, the supports, the additional 2,000 teachers that I've added during our tenure, both my team and I, the additional thousands of paraprofessionals, the additional social workers, nurses, counselors. Those investments, I am very concerned they're going to be put at risk because if we're not responsible in how we, and by the way, we have a balanced budget today. The dispute is they're asking us to put on additional expenses without that revenue source. TIF is one funding source. In addition, I want to make sure that we continue to gain our advocacy with the state, but I am hearing a lot of worry. Our district, for the first time in the last 2 years, we've stabilized enrollment after decades of significant declines. So all the complaints I heard about schools getting hollowed out and emptied out, we're seeing growth in our district, and we're seeing, again, academic success. And so that is what I'm worried about protecting.
Balanced budget at the same time, with the acknowledgement that once that contract is completed, you'll have to come back and work in whatever has been agreed to for the teachers. When we get to that point, almost out of time, Pedro, what would you say your working relationship with the mayor is like right now?
So, you know, our relationship started with both having a passion for our district, and it actually grew. Again, the tension that has existed in the last few months, Brandis, has been over this issue about pensions, about borrowing. I want to make sure that everybody understands the facts. Look, all of us can get emotional. Both the mayor and I are both passionate people. I am still optimistic that we continue to have a strong relationship. We have the same vision, fully resourcing our schools, making sure that our schools are invested in. He was the one candidate that acknowledged how under-resourced our schools were, and that's why I've always been supportive of him.
Okay. And new board members, I take it you probably have not had the chance to shake any of their hands just yet.
They don't know me. I don't know them. I'm looking forward to meeting them. I want them to have all the information that they need. I want them to have all the facts. And so that's my plan, and I'm looking forward to working with them.
Okay. Chicago Public Schools CEO Pedro Martinez, thanks for joining us. Best of luck.
Thank you, Brandis.
And we're back with more of today's top stories right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Black Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
And now to some of today's top stories. Jury selection begins today in the trial of Michael Madigan, more than 2 years after his bombshell indictment on racketeering and bribery charges. Prosecutors allege Madigan orchestrated multiple corruption schemes to reward his allies and get rich himself. Madigan, who served as Illinois' House Speaker for 36 years, has denied any wrongdoing and pleaded not guilty. The Speaker's decades-long grip on power began to erode in 2020 when ComEd officials admitted to arranging jobs, contracts, and payoffs for Madigan's associates to win his support. Opening statements are expected to begin early next week, and the trial is anticipated to last 10 weeks. Much more of this story on our website, including what questions attorneys have for potential jurors. Local efforts are underway to aid residents in Florida as Hurricane Milton is set to make landfall tonight. Millions have been ordered to evacuate as the intense storm is threatening the highly populated Tampa Bay area. A spokesperson says 60 ComEd employees left Illinois today heading to Florida to support workers there. And an additional 200 workers will be redeployed to Florida after finishing restoration in Georgia and South Carolina following Hurricane Helene. The Chicago Sky's front office is responding to the recent firing of the team's head coach. In a surprise move, the Sky fired coach Teresa Weatherspoon last month after only one season. The team's general manager took questions on the move today.
I have a lot of respect for Spoon. We're very appreciative of the competitive teams, the resilient teams, the spirit she brought to us on the court every night. And look, as an organization, we just felt it was time to make a change. We want to make sure that there continues to be structure, discipline, accountability, just championship mindset. And we want the Sky to continue to be a place that people want to be long term.
The GM adds that the team is in a, quote, good spot now with rookie star Angel Reese, who took to social media immediately following Weatherspoon's firing to share her disappointment in the move. Today's comments came at a groundbreaking event for a new training facility in Bedford Park. The facility is projected to cost more than $30 million. Up next, Heather Sherrone on a contentious day at City Hall, right after this. The controversy engulfing Chicago public schools reached City Hall today with Alder people demanding school board members answer questions about the financial crisis facing CPS. That led to a fiery exchange between the mayor and Alderman Gilbert Villegas.
I urge you in your authority as the person who's appointed the board members as well as the new board members.
You want me to exercise my authority?
Absolutely. Exercise your authority.
Oh boy, WTTW News reporter Heather Sharon joins us now to break down another tense day at City Hall. Heather, what prompted that exchange?
Well, Alderman Villegas was one of 41 aldermen to sign on to a letter demanding that the current and future board members for CPS come to a special city council meeting today at City Hall and answer questions about the district's future and whether they would fire CEO Pedro Martinez and whether they would take out a high interest short-term loan to shore up the district's finances. Now, no board members showed up today, and Alderman Villegas told me that that was because he had reached an agreement with Alderman Jeanette Taylor, Johnson's chair of the Education Committee, to hold a special Education Committee meeting on next Friday. But as you heard in that exchange, Alderman Villegas thought the mayor had committed to sort of encouraging, if not ordering, those board members to come to the city council meeting, and that is far from the case. After today's city council meeting and after that exchange, we heard from the city's top lawyer, Mary Richardson Lowry, saying the city council does not have the authority to subpoena board members to appear in front of them, and that is something the mayor says he is not willing to negotiate on.
Okay. And Heather, in other news, the mayor said today he will not veto an ordinance passed last month designed to stop him from scrapping ShotSpotter. Let's listen to what he told you about why he reversed course.
What it attempted to do is to give procurement authority to a separate body, which is illegal. You know, the procurement rests within the executive branch. To take that outside the executive branch is a dangerous precedent, because could you imagine if each entity had the ability, regardless of the executive authority, to just go into procurement with any entity? I mean, you could have a second term with Donald Trump, and God knows we don't want that.
So, Heather, where does this leave the issue?
In limbo. This ordinance, the mayor says, is illegal, has been passed, but it hasn't been vetoed, and the mayor has said that it will not be enforced. It now ends up in the lap of the Alder people, who feel strongly that Chicago needs a gunshot detection system. They say they are willing to sue the mayor and the city and ask a judge to force him to follow this ordinance. That would upend decades of contracting law, and it's not clear that the city council can have a lawyer that will take the case and that they will find a sympathetic judge. But it is an indication of just how deeply this has sundered relations between Johnson and some Alder people. An indication today that we saw that 9 Alder people voted against even ending the meeting at the mayor's request. Things are very tense here at City Hall.
To say the least, they're a little tense at CPS as well. Coming back to that for just a minute, Heather, what is your sort of analysis? What is your take on this back and forth and the arguments over whether or not the city can be de-TIFFed, or whether a lot more TIF money can be given to CPS?
Well, I think there are real questions about the legality of the proposal made today by the teachers union. It would essentially strip funding from projects that are already approved and have begun at least the initial planning. I believe that violates state law. The other issue with what we heard CEO Martinez propose today is would be truly a massive amount of money from the city's districts going into the school district. Last year, the school district got $97 million, which helped it balance its budget back then. If we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 million, that is a massive change. And it also threatens to make the city's budget crisis work, because the city, for as long as I've been on this beat, has relied also on surplus to keep its budget out of the red.
All right. Questions about if there's enough TIF to go around. Heather Sharon at City Hall for us. Thanks so much. And you can read Heather's full story on our website. And that's our show for this Wednesday night. Stay connected with our newsroom and what we're working on by following us on Instagram at WTTW Chicago. And if you're looking for more context on the complicated issues that matter most to you, like the TIF, sign up for our email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. You can do that at WTTW.com/newsletter. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. HIV cases are climbing among young queer Latino men. Local health professionals on the reason why and what can be done to combat it. And a new Chicago Stories documentary looks at the history of the Young Lords of Lincoln Park. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight Black Voices, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thanks for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm committed to giving back to the community through law and philanthropy.